Hi, this is Alan Chartok in the Congressional Corner with Republican Congressman John Faso of New York's 19th District. John,
nice to be with you again, Alan.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to ask you a question about the Faso-Collins Amendment in the Senate.
Sure.
Which is now in the Senate, which means that in New York, I don't quite get this one. I really don't. I'm not playing games with you. In which you say the counties in New York, unlike many other counties around the country, have to pay about a third of the Medicaid.
Third
costs.
Of the state's share of Medicaid.
Yeah.
So this is unusual, where folks who live over in Berkshire County in Massachusetts, for instance, they don't pay this in their property taxes.
Right.
What this gets down to a fundamental. This was the worst mistake that Nelson Rockefeller made as governor.
A Republican.
And it was the single worst mistake he made. We've been doing it for over 50 years. And just because we've made this mistake for 50 years doesn't mean we should continue. So what I've said, I went back and I read the Medicaid statute. And lo and behold, I realized that the Medicaid statute authorized the state to impose a portion of its cost on its localities. But only New York did it the way New York did it. In fact, if you include New York City in this calculation, over 7 billion of the 9 billion that's imposed on local governments in the whole country is in New York State. It's just an example of what an outlier New York is. 9 billion in the whole country and 7 billion of it is in New York.
Now, John, you know what they're saying about you. They're saying that you're going to basically take a vote, which many people didn't want you to do, on health care. They're going to support the repeal and revision of Obamacare. And then in order to protect you, they gave you this little chestnut.
No, not at all. In fact, you know, Alan, when I ran for office, I had this quaint little thing. I actually proposed this when I ran for office last year. And I said to my constituents, my future constituents, that if elected, I was going to push a federal law that would bar the state like New York from imposing this cost on its property taxpayers. Alan, what are the two biggest issues in upstate New York, the district I represent? People fleeing in droves. Every single county has lost population. And one of the main reasons, two of the reasons they're leaving is because their taxes are too high and there aren't enough jobs. And it's very simple. I view this Medicaid mandate as one of the things that is destroying the upstate economy. So my argument when I ran last year, and I did win by 25,000 votes, 8.5 points, I argued to my constituents that I would fight to eliminate this Medicaid mandate. So it had nothing to do with a deal for a vote. It had to do with this is the promise I made last year. And heaven forbid an elected official keeps his promises of what he said when he was running. And so this Medicaid mandate is extremely damaging. And think about it. The county has to send a check to Albany every week for a program they have absolutely no control over. This is taxation without representation.
Now, the governor is very angry with you, John Faso. Welcome.
Which may be an indication that I'm on the right track.
How do you figure?
Well, look, he is stuck in a mindset that can't possibly consider the fact that this burden, he thinks economic development is basically him giving politically connected companies grants and loans and money from the state coffers, and that that's going to create economic development. I, on the other hand, believe we have to reduce our business costs. We have to lower our property taxes if we want upstate New York to be a competitive place. And literally, we are driving people away. This is not me making this up, Alan. These are the cold, hard facts. Virtually every single county in upstate New York is losing population. Every county in my district, including Ulster and Dutchess, are losing population.
Okay, what I can't understand about this, I started by saying I don't really understand it. If you take the county share and you say to the state, you have to pay it, state.
Like 49 other states do.
Right. This has got the governor very upset because it means his budget gets busted.
Okay,
right?
So here, when I can tell you, there's a lot of waste in his budget. When I took over the budget transition for George Pataki in 1994, he had a $5 billion deficit on a $55 billion base. I was in charge of creating the budget, which actually reduced state spending on a year-to-year basis. If you could cut $5 billion out of a $55 billion base, there's no reason he can't in 2020, I'm giving him 2.5 years notice, in 2020, he can't take $2.2 billion of the county share out of a much higher base.
When you say 2020, you don't mean 2018?
No, 2020. I wrote this so it specifically says Albany only has to take over the county share, $2.2 billion, in 2020. They've got plenty of time to prepare for this, to plan for it. And my view is that it's fundamental. The level of government which confers the benefit, decides who's eligible, decides how much it gets paid, should be the same level of government that has to go to its taxpayers and say, here's why we have to raise the money to pay for it. At the property tax level, this allows the state to do all sorts of things where they're not fully responsible for these programs.
Have you actually dialed the phone and talked to the governor about this?
No. I've spoken to the lieutenant governor. Candidly, everything I hear about Governor Cuomo's reaction and certainly his public comments lead me to believe that he's certainly not interested in a productive discussion on this. But that doesn't mean that I would foreclose it. But I can tell you this, Alan. I am bound and determined that we end this albatross on the property taxes. This lowers people's real estate values. It is taxation without representation. And Albany has it within its capacity to fund the county share of Medicaid without raising taxes, and it has to reform its own spending. You know, I'll tell you, the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, Comptroller General, came before the Budget Committee about 2 months ago, and he said that the Medicaid system has hundreds of billions of dollars, about 120, I think he said, in unnecessary expenditures, in undocumented expenditures, in fraud, waste, and abuse, as well as mistaken expenditures. Well, easily 8 to 10% of that $100 billion is in New York State.
Okay, I want to leave this for a minute, and I want to go to the president and his obvious and crazy, in fact, some people think insane, war on the press.
It's awful. It's terrible. Yeah. It's a disgrace, in my view. It is something that's completely uncalled for. Look, I think polls have said that 80 to 90% of people in the media vote for the other side. I understand that. But my approach is that the free press and the First Amendment is sacrosanct, and the free press is necessary for an informed citizenry. And even though I may not like some of the coverage I get, and certainly I don't think some of the coverage I get is fair, it's the way it is. And I would never attack the press in this way. I think it adds to the lack of civility in our politics. And the one thing we need in our politics today is people to listen to each other.
So what is he doing? Is he crazy?
I think he's doing it because he thinks that's how he got elected, and he intends to continue it. I couldn't tell you. I've never discussed it with the president. But if I were to discuss it with him, I would tell him, please stop it for the sake of the country. And for the sake of the success of being able to work cooperatively with the Congress and to get things done. And it's bad. It's not just bad for his presidency. It's not just bad for the political process. It's bad for the country. And I think, you know, I had a couple of people. I was at a parade, a 4th of July parade, and a couple of people were waving a one finger salute to me. And I thought, well, gee, they must be saying that I'm number one. And but I think that actually they were trying to tell me something else. And I think I called out, well, God bless you too. And the fact of the matter is that we need more civility in politics, and because we have grave problems that we face as Americans. And the 4th of July is an opportunity for us to realize we're all Americans, we're all in this ship together, and we've got to start rowing in the same direction. And even though we may have political and philosophical disagreements, we all stand for what America stands for. And that's why I think the attack on the press by the president is very regrettable, uncalled for, and hopefully it'll stop.
John Passo, thank you so much for being with us. It's great fun. And we'll see you the next time. And we'll be doing some other broadcasting, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.